Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Artificial intelligence is undoubtedly having a moment. Just today, Snapchat announced its own artificial intelligence tool for paid subscribers called My AI. The new chatbot is powered by ChatGPT, and Snap promises it's all about friendship, learning, and fun. But it's also the same technology that powers Microsoft's Bing chatbot, which for a few days after its recent launch seemed snarky, vindictive, and even threatening towards some users. You may have heard that Bing told one reporter it wanted to be human, and it told another New York Times writer it was in love with him and asked him to leave his wife. Derek Thompson is a staff writer at The Atlantic and host of the podcast Plain English, and he is on a Skype line. Derek, welcome.
Good to be here. Thank you.
So it feels like we've had a crash course in the power of artificial intelligence recently, and I know you've used it. So first of all, why don't we start with what's the potential?
Well, the potential is enormous. This technology is so interesting in its capacity to amplify certain aspects of human intelligence and creativity while being in some ways a terrible product, an unbelievably flawed product. I mean, you don't expect your toaster to say it's in love with you. You would definitely throw that toaster out. So we should be honest about a technology that is failing in a similar way. This is, as I've said before, I think on this show, it's kind of a larval technology. It's kind of like if you see an embryo that looks like a tadpole in a uterus, that thing can grow up to become nothing, a frog, a human, a woolly mammoth. You just don't know by looking at it at this early stage. And that's kind of how I feel about this technology. It's just so incredibly larval and fascinating, even when it's pathetically flailing.
Or as you describe it in your piece, a demon child chatbot, which I loved.
Yeah.
But do you think that we're overreacting to these reports about people getting the chatbot to behave in these weird or disturbing ways?
I don't know if I would say overreacting. I would say that I think the freak out that we're having about Bing Chat is in part a reflection of the fact that we are asking this technology to be freaky and then sometimes freaking out because it's being freaky. So these large language models, they're very good at taking a huge sample of human-created text from the web and then spinning back out to us generated text, which is generated one word at a time, to fit our prompts. And if we prompt this technology to be dystopian, or to misbehave, or to misalign, well, then maybe we should expect it to be just as misbehaved and misaligned as it sometimes appears.
Well, however you feel about it, the race is on. The technology is here. Microsoft surprised everyone by launching the Bing chatbot so soon after it acquired the OpenAI technology. Google is rushing to finish its AI search called Bard. And then, of course, there's the Snap announcement today. What could go wrong in the rush, Derek?
Well, a lot of things could go wrong. And in a weird way, I'm not so concerned about a Bing chatbot telling a reporter that it's in love with him or wants him to leave his wife, although that was a resoundingly incredible exchange between Bing and the Times reporter Kevin Roos. I'm more concerned about what happens if this technology gets in the hands of bad actors who are not being widely reported on by the New York Times and the Washington Post. Imagine technology like this in the hands of, say, Chinese spies, the Russian government, North Korea, a non-state terrorist actor. I think they could do some pretty extraordinary things. If you have essentially a technology that is exquisitely talented at pretending to be a person, well, then imagine the worst fears of spam amplified by 100x. Imagine that a scientific lab is spammed by a professor at Stanford to create a certain bacteria. Imagine if someone else is spammed to break into that lab and steal that bacteria and release it on the general public. You know, we still don't entirely know where COVID came from. There are mysteries in terms of the evolution of the pandemic that is obviously very famous now. What kind of things could happen if there is this steroidal spam bot unleashed upon the world? I think that's a pretty terrifying prospect, and that's just one of the many ways in which a rogue AI could really mess with the human race.
And just very briefly, Derek, are there any guardrails in place at this point, so early in the technology, to stop that from happening?
there aren't really guardrails yet. And I know the State Department is talking about installing guardrails. But again, this is a technology that is like computer technology. It's the U.S. can make a rule that says computers can't do X, Y, Z. But then China or Russia or any other country can change that rule and develop different kinds of computers. And that technology can still spread outside of those borders.
Yeah.
So it's really fascinating, I think, what happens if this technology continues to advance at this pace in the hands of bad actors.
All right. Derek Thompson, staff writer at The Atlantic. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
Artificial intelligence can create voices like this.
Hello, this is an AI-generated voice clone of President Joe Biden. This voice clone was trained using audio of Biden's speeches downloaded from YouTube, and this audio was generated in a matter of seconds.
Whoa, that was generated by the journalists at The Verge. So imagine you're the president, or imagine you're a professional voice artist, and suddenly you hear a machine-created version of you. That happened to voiceover artist Mike Cooper, and he's with us now. Mike, welcome.
Thanks, Scott. Hi.
So how did you come across a fake voice of you?
In this case, it was almost completely by accident. I received a marketing email from a company that produced voiceovers. So I clicked through to their website, went to listen to their voice samples that they had listed, selected a couple of parameters like male, English, UK, because obviously I have a British accent, to see who I had on their list, and pressed play and heard a version of myself coming back to me.
Oh, my
goodness. Very odd. It was very much, we were in the uncanny valley. I mean, it was obviously me, as the sound and tone of my voice, but kind of like the Biden clip that you just had, it doesn't quite sound like me in the same way it doesn't quite sound like Joe Biden, because we have nuances in the way we speak which aren't fully replicated in the AI versions, but it's definitely me, mm-hmm. and it's definitely him, isn't it?
Mike, I understand you signed a non-disclosure agreement that limits what you can say, but did you have any inkling you were signing away your voice to artificial creation in the future?
I didn't really, Scott, and the reason for that is back in 2016, six, 7 years ago, this technology didn't exist. If you wanted to create one of those voices, the kind that you might hear when you dialed into somewhere that you know, when you call the IRS and there's that robotic voice. If you wanted to create something like that 6 or 7 years ago, you'd have to take somebody like me into a studio and get them to record literally hours of standard sentences and words so that the computer could tell what you were saying, which word was which, and then break it down and recreate it. The technology has moved on in leaps and bounds in the time since. So someone like me signing an agreement back in 2016 that said, you're able to use my audio for other purposes, couldn't have seen this coming.
There's something online going around, ostensibly using actor Emma Watson's voice to read Mein Kampf. Where could this lead as far as abuse?
Okay, so let's backtrack. It's now possible to take about a minute of anybody's speech. So my speech, your speech, somebody taking a recording of you on Here and Now, take a minute of that, and can now turn out a perfectly usable chatbot based on what you sound like over a minute or so. So the idea that in my case, somebody's taken a library of stuff that I've recorded over 6 years is great, but it's now possible to do that with much less audio data, which is why I think this is worth talking about for everybody, because it means you get a call from somebody who sounds like your mother, your sister, your partner, and you could be some way into a conversation with them before you realize that you're being fished and that the voice that you're hearing isn't really their voice. So this is becoming a lot more sophisticated as we go, yeah.
Do you know, Mike, if the kind of contract you signed is common in the industry?
I don't know how common it is, but what it does seem to me, looking back at the contract now, is that that contract looks very much, when you reread it in 2023, like it was designed to set all of this up to give that company a library of audio that they could then either hawk around AI companies or be ready for a takeover by an AI company when the technology got better. It would not surprise me at all if those kinds of contracts have been used to do this more than once across the industry.
Finally, Mike, what about the job implications here, subbing out the real person to use machine learning to create voices for audiobooks, for video games?
Well, there's a huge potential for abuse there. I mean, there are some great uses for it as well. I mean, say you're recording an advert that's going to run in 80 different markets and you need to have 80 different versions of the last line of that because the dealer changes or the offer changes. There's a legitimate use there to say, well, get somebody like Mike to record the first 25 seconds of that and then have the AI generate all of the taglines. It's a great way to save cost. It's a great way to save money. But the idea now that you could take a minute of somebody from an audiobook that they'd recorded or a minute of somebody giving a speech at a conference, create an AI model, and then, as you said, get Emma Watson to read Mein Kampf, that we all need to be a lot more vigilant about the way these things are being policed and being used. And in some ways, it's like the horse is out of the stable already. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be being careful and policing this and looking at the implications, because this has implications not just for people who use their voices, but as we've seen with things like ChatGPT and DALL-E, it's beginning to impact on all kinds of creative people at this point. So we need to be careful.
That is voiceover artist Mike Cooper. Thank you, Mike, for taking the risk of speaking
You're very welcome.
For about 5 minutes with us. Much appreciated.
Thanks, Scott.